As we count down towards the elections, we've been hosting a series of educational discussions in partnership with ASRI. And this evening, joining us to talk about independent candidates, we're joined on the line by the Executive Director of ASRI, Mohammed Kaji. Mohammed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Musaji, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing very well. And yourself?
Excellent, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, the discussion on Tuesday morning with Mulana Sulaiman was very informative. It shed light on a number of pertinent issues, and we look forward to tackling the issue of independent candidates.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Shoot with your first question.
Yes, now, in terms of independent candidates, our constitution, the IEC, does make provision for independent candidates. How does this function? Who can stand as an independent candidate?
Okay, so independent candidates, the barrier to entry is actually pretty low for somebody to stand as an independent candidate. There's two conditions. The one is that the candidate, three conditions. The one is that the candidate has to be registered in the ward that he or she is contesting. So if somebody is contesting in a particular ward in Lanesia, for example, they have to be registered within any of the voting stations within that ward. The second is that they just need 50 signatures also of registered voters in that ward to contest the election, and thirdly, they need to pay a fee of 1,000 rand. So if those three conditions are met, they can contest as an independent candidate in a ward for the municipality within which they registered.
Now, when you have an independent candidate who is not affiliated with any political party, is that different in any way? Will the person be able to serve within other, within a municipality that is being ruled by a particular party? How does it function, and will this person be able to make a change or effect change under the circumstances where the person is functioning as an individual?
So I think for us to be able to answer that question, there's maybe two or three scenarios that we have to look at. The first scenario is the scenario of coalitions, and we know that with the analysis of what's happening in the election coming up, Johannesburg, Pretoria, as well as Port Elizabeth are seen as contested metros, which could end up in coalitions. And, independent candidates have more power politically within coalitions because, obviously, there isn't a majority party, and each party would need to have additional councillors in their camp to be able to secure majority votes for bylaws as well as resolutions and so on, as well as obviously electing the mayor and the mayoral committee. So in that context, independent candidates or even the smaller political parties that we've seen mushrooming during the election season would have more power as kingmakers of sorts going into coalition metros. But in metros like Cape Town and Durban, where the expectation is that the parties who have been incumbent would maintain their majoritarianism within those councils, in that context, independent candidates really politically, in terms of council resolutions and bylaws and so on, don't have a lot of power. So that's on the sort of higher level, which is the legislative level. But at a grassroots ground level, councillors are as good, or independent candidates as well as party councillors are only as good as the competence and commitment that they have to the community that they've asked to represent or they've stood for elections to represent.
You're in tune with international norms, particularly the United States of America and how their elections function. Is there something similar internationally where you have independent candidates that do stand for the local municipalities?
In terms of local elections in the U.S., for example, the system is very different because they have a county-level system. And their mayors, as well as their mayoral committees and so on, and city councillors are all directly elected. So they don't have the proportional representation side of things. Yes, there are, especially in the British system, you do have independent candidates running, or you do have other parties, like the Green Party, as well as, your more sort of independent socialist parties and so on that contest the elections, but don't really get very far. In the U.S., you have the Libertarian Party that generally is a, is a third party that would contest elections. So you do have, especially in multi-party democracies, you do have systems where independent candidates can contest for local wards and win eventually as well.
What are some of the reasons why people would choose to vote for an independent candidate?
I think in the South African context, the major reason would be a feeling of disenfranchisement from the existing parties or non-delivery from the existing parties in terms of representation. Remember, at the municipal elections level, your council is really supposed to be in tune with your own needs as a community and be responsive to those needs, you know, as a ward specifically. So independent candidates very often, as I explained earlier, have to come from the wards that they registered in. So independent candidates typically are living in those areas that they're contesting the elections in. And for that reason, they do have a closer understanding of the networks and the needs of those wards. One thing I'd like to bring in, which I think we could touch on, is the interesting thing about independent candidates and our system in South Africa is that you could end up in a situation where a ward councillor is not elected with the majority of the vote in that ward. So just to make it more understandable, say you have five candidates who are contesting a ward and each candidate gets 20%. Obviously, nobody wins. But if one of those candidates gets 21%, the other three 20%, and one of them 19%, then the one with 21% of the vote actually becomes the councillor for the ward, even though 79% of the voters on voting day didn't vote for that candidate, which is something very interesting and is a phenomenon that I think is going to become more relevant and even visible during this election that's coming up.
Yeah, so that is an interesting dynamic. Now, in terms of structure, the independent candidate will function like a normal councillor once the person has taken office. What are the structures above that that the independent candidate will then be answering to and, you know, functioning within what capacity?
So the independent candidate, by being elected as a councillor, effectively gets a seat on city council. Or in a metropolitan municipality, it will be a metropolitan council, and at a local municipality level, it's called a local council. And you also have what are called district councils in our constitutional setup. So we actually have three types of councils that are defined. Independent candidates effectively, by having a seat in council, have a vote in council for any of the resolutions and so on that are passed in council. What council also does is council has to establish committees, and those committees mirror the executive position. So if you have a MMC for transport, which is a member of the mayoral committee for transport, who's the executive, the equivalent of a city minister, if you'd like to define it that way, on a council level, you actually then also have to have a council committee for transport. And the council committee for transport will then be made up with representatives from the different political parties at council. So there is a chance that independent candidates could be represented in some of those committees if they're able to secure enough support from other members of council to do it. But the chances are actually pretty slim for an independent candidate to make it into one of those committees. And if we understand our city-level legislative process, those committees are really where the nuts and bolts of bylaws and so on are considered and tabled and then passed within council. So that's one of the disadvantages of being an independent candidate, is you don't have, you know, the broad support of a bigger political party that then has lots of seats on these council committees. But, you know, the real benefit of an independent candidate, if you say, or the real argument in favor of independent candidates, is their closeness to the ground and closeness to the wards that they're aiming to represent versus political parties, who you'd argue that the benefit of bigger political parties is that they have, you know, the political clout and the majority clout to be able to pass resolutions and budgets and expenditure and so on in favor of specific requirements in the different wards in the city.
In terms, you know, you speak about the ambit with which in the independent candidate can function. Now, what happens if an independent candidate then gains in popularity and perhaps, you know, wants to move up the ranks, so to say? Would it then require that person to form a political party? You know, how far up the rank could a person could really go up into local government and things like that?
So that's an interesting question, because the same way that the barrier to entry then for an independent candidate is just 50 signatures and R1,000, for any sort of group of citizens to form a political party on a national level, so say somebody wanted to start a political party to contest municipal elections across the country, it only takes 500 signatures, a constitution, as well as R500. So, you know, anyone, you, me, somebody who's concerned about or has an interest in politics or want to contest, or this independent candidate we're referring to who's gained in popularity and built a network of other, you know, individuals who share the same concern. If the independent candidate, say, in the next election just wants to contest a single municipality, the barrier to entry is even lower. So at that point, it's R200, a constitution for the party, as well as just 100 signatures. And then there's a cost for that party to contest an election, which is about R3,500 in that municipality. But we're not looking at major barriers to entry here, especially at the municipal level, for an independent to then progress into forming a political party with other like-minded individuals and then contesting multiple wards. And I think that what I've noticed looking at like previous election results and so on, is that some resident associations within different communities, and one of them that comes to mind is the Bushbuck Ridge Residents Association, actually did register as a political party to contest elections in Bushbuck Ridge. So it's not a new phenomenon where resident associations for different communities would then say, well, we don't trust any of the other political parties contesting to deliver to this ward. We're going to contest it as a residents association, for example, because the barrier to entry isn't really that high.
So, in conclusion, Mohammed, is it an option to vote for an independent candidate?
I guess it's a trick question. So I'll do it more sort of process-wise. That voters, if they're considering voting for independent candidates in this election, depending on which part of the country they're in, you know, if they're in a contested metro that's going to be highly contested and expecting coalition politics to play a part, like Johannesburg, Port Elizabeth, as well as Pretoria, then I think it's much more of an option, because the chances of that independent candidate being able to play a kingmaker of sorts along with other smaller parties and other independent candidates would give those independent candidates much more power politically on a council level, because their votes would be needed by the coalition to pass resolutions and budgets and all those sort of things. At the level of metros such as Cape Town or Durban, where the expectation is that the incumbent parties will probably carry those metros easily with strong majorities, I think the ability for independent candidates to actually, or even the smaller parties to actually make a major difference is going to be minimal. And in those sort of scenarios, what we've seen in the past is independent candidates ultimately then associate with one of the bigger parties within the council to try to get things done and to try to benefit the communities that elected them.
It's been fascinating chatting to you, Mohammed. Your time, really appreciated on Radio Islam. Jazakumullah khair. And we look forward to the next discussions next week, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khair, Mufti Musaji. Good speaking to you this evening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa rahmatullah.
That was Mohammed Kaji from Asri speaking to us about independent candidates and giving us a good overview of the role of an independent candidate and also some of the interesting aspects relating to independent candidates, bringing us on to 26 minutes to 7.